This is The Growth Journey. Real life, real growth, divinely inspired. Where military discipline meets a ministry heart. With 40 years of life-shaping experience, including 22 years on active duty, and a deep calling to ministry, David Averett, CEO and founder of CA Jail Outreach Nationwide, shares spirit-led wisdom and practical tools to transform your life. He's also the author of an ebook on growth, bringing even more insight to help you flourish in faith, marriage, leadership, character, church, and business. Ready for divinely inspired results? Let's get started.
Let's get started.
Okay, let's unpack this. Have you ever had a really brilliant idea, something you genuinely believed could improve things, whether, you know, it's at work or maybe in your church community?
Or even just within a team you're part of, right?
Exactly. You share it, you're filled with hope, and, well, it just seems to vanish.
Yeah, like it gets lost in the maze of bureaucracy somewhere.
Or it hits that wall of indifference, or maybe you get that classic response, oh, I'll pass that along.
Uh-huh. And then, poof, gone forever into the organizational ether, as they say.
It's maddening, isn't it? Especially in places that say they value innovation or they're seeking growth or maybe built on principles of connection and wisdom.
It really is. And that's what we're diving into today.
Yes, this deep dive is tackling that perplexing reality, why valuable ideas get overlooked and why actively, intentionally listening to every voice, valuing every idea isn't just, you know, a nice to have.
It's something David Averett calls profoundly important. Maybe even transformative.
And our source material for this is really rich. It comes from the reflections of David Averett himself.
Now, David is the CEO and founder of an organization. He's an author, even hosts a podcast. So he gets the challenges from multiple angles.
Right. Yeah. Leadership, communication.
Yep.
He understands it. And his insights here are quite personal.
They draw from his own pretty extensive experience in different leadership roles.
And he weaves that together with timeless biblical principles, which is fascinating.
So our mission today isn't just to summarize. We want to really extract the core wisdom from David Averett's perspective.
Yeah, connect it to practical leadership and the power of biblical truth he highlights.
And remember, this deep dive, it's really custom tailored for you.
We're here to help you cut through the noise, grasp the key insights from Mr. Averett's writing on why leadership that truly listens is so critical.
Okay, so let's jump right in.
So David Averett kicks off his discussion by highlighting what he sees as, well, a puzzling contradiction in our world today.
Mm-hmm. Well,
on one hand, we're constantly championing innovation, right? We talk about disruption, progress, new ideas.
It's everywhere. Conferences, books, company values.
Exactly. Yet despite all that noise around innovation, Mr. Averett sees this widespread, frustrating reality.
Which is?
That genuinely good ideas, whether they pop up in a fast-paced company or maybe even more surprisingly, within a church community.
Yeah.
They frequently just don't go anywhere. They get overlooked.
Or maybe dismissed as not the right time.
Or just handed off with that vague promise, I'll pass it along.
Effectively sending them off to gather dust somewhere, a metaphorical dustbin for ideas.
Pretty much. And David Averett is very clear about the consequences of this.
Yeah, he doesn't hold back.
Mm-hmm.
He argues this isn't just, you know, a minor inefficiency, a little hiccup.
No, he sees it as fundamentally detrimental.
Really?
Really damaging.
So when good ideas get stifled, when those channels for input are blocked,
it directly hinders growth potential. Doesn't matter if it's a nonprofit, a business, a church, trying to reach people.
Growth gets stalled.
Yeah.
But he also mentions the human cost.
Oh, absolutely. He emphasizes that. It's deeply demoralizing for the dedicated folks who are closest to the ground.
The ones who see the problems, see the opportunities, and actually offer solutions.
And when their ideas are ignored or dismissed, it just erodes their engagement, their sense of value.
Makes them less likely to speak up next time, I imagine.
Exactly. So ultimately, David Averett says this failure to capture and act on good ideas, it cripples the very progress everyone claims to want.
It's a critical issue.
Yeah.
And chances are you, listening right now, you've either experienced this frustration.
Or maybe, perhaps without realizing it, you've contributed to it in your own context.
Yeah. David Averett really wants us to see how serious this lost idea problem is.
Now, this is where our deep dive gets particularly insightful, I think. Mm. Because David Averett shifts gears a bit.
Okay.
He opens up, shares some really personal reflections, moments that clearly shaped his views on leadership.
The formative stuff.
Right. He signals he wants to talk about something he feels is profoundly important for every church and organization.
Okay, profoundly important. What is it?
He believes it's a fundamental principle that could actually redefine our impact. And that principle, it's listening. Truly listening.
Listening. Okay. And he's honest about the challenges, especially in, say, ministry or nonprofit work.
Very transparent. He points out how easy it is to get completely consumed by the daily grind.
Oh, tell me about it. Emails, deadlines, budgets, yeah. Programs. Just keeping afloat.
Totally. And in that whirlwind, it's so tempting to tell yourself you just don't have the time to stop and really listen.
Not just hear the words, but understand the ideas, the compassion behind them, the heart cries.
Exactly that. And David Averett calls this mindset, what he believes it is, a dangerous misconception.
Dangerous. Wow. So we think we're being productive.
But we're actually missing something vital. Missing the potential wisdom, the helping hands God might be sending through the people right beside us.
That's a powerful reframe, helping hands through ideas.
And this leads directly into one of David Averett's core sayings. It seems like a real guidepost for him.
Okay, what is it?
He says, and I want you, our listener, to really let this sink in. True leadership isn't about having all the answers. It's about hearing all the questions and the solutions hidden within them.
Pause on that. Hearing all the questions?
It flips the script, doesn't it?
Right.
We usually think the leader has the answers.
Yeah, the visionary at the front dictating the path.
Yeah.
But David suggests the effective leader is the one who listens for the answers embedded in the group's perspective.
Precisely. The one who cultivates an environment where questions and the potential solutions within them are welcome.
Right. And Mr. Averett doesn't just leave it there as, like, a good management tip.
No, he goes deeper. He argues that this active listening, this genuine engagement, it's not just smart practice.
It's rooted in biblical principles.
Deeply rooted. He shows how scripture consistently values seeking counsel, honoring multiple voices.
Like which scriptures?
He specifically brings up Proverbs 15:22. In the King James Version he uses, it says, "Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors they are established."
Multitude of counselors. Okay. So, ancient wisdom showing strength comes from broad input. Not going it alone.
Exactly. David Averett uses that to show success is established through many voices, while isolation leads to disappointment.
Makes sense. Going it alone often means missing things.
And David Averett's conviction here wasn't just from reading Proverbs. It was powerfully shaped by his time in the military.
The military experience. He mentioned that was formative.
Hugely influential, he says. It really solidified his belief in the absolute necessity of listening at every single level.
So what happened? What was the story he shared?
It's incredibly specific, really paints a picture. He talks about serving under a brigade commander.
Okay.
Who implemented what David calls a truly transformative policy about ideas.
Transformative how?
Well, it wasn't just a suggestion. It was a clear, non-negotiable mandate.
A mandate for what?
Every single leader in that brigade, regardless of their rank, was required to hear, read, and actively engage with every idea from their soldiers or personnel.
Every idea. As long as it could potentially improve the mission or the work environment.
That was the condition. If it could help, it had to be heard. And Mr. Averett describes the process.
How did it work?
An idea wasn't just logged. The immediate leader had to hear it, comment on it, then push it up the chain.
So multiple layers provided input.
Yes, at each level. More evaluation, more input, before it even reached the brigade commander.
Did it stop there? Just paperwork?
Not at all. The commander himself made a point of personally connecting with the soldiers who submitted ideas.
Really? He talked to them directly?
Yes, to discuss their proposals. And if an idea had real merit, was warranted.
He'd champion it.
Actively, pushing it up to the next level, sometimes advocating for army-wide implementation.
Wow, that's serious commitment from the top.
And get this, the recognition part. It really underscores how much they valued these ideas.
What kind of recognition?
Special recognition for approved FDOs and for the originators. It wasn't just, okay, good idea, we'll use it.
So what did they get?
The idea got implemented, maybe army-wide, plus the soldier or team got tangible rewards.
Yay.
Including
yes?
A helicopter ride and lunch with the commander.
No way. A helicopter ride for an idea.
Yep. Talk about sending a message that you're thinking is valued, right?
That is incredibly powerful. That must have really stuck with David Averett.
Indelible mark, I'd say. seeing that practical power of tapping into collective intelligence in such a high-stakes place.
For sure. And did he have another saying linked to this?
He did. Flowing right from that experience, but applying universally, he says, innovation thrives not in silos, but in the echoes of engaged ears.
Echoes of engaged ears. I like that image. Silos are closed off. Echoes mean ideas are bouncing around, being heard, amplified.
Exactly. What does that phrase evoke for you listening right now? Innovation thriving in echoes.
It suggests connection, building on ideas, interaction. And David Averitt then connects this back to, say, ministry or business.
He does. He reminds us that in these contexts, we're ultimately serving someone else. People, communities, customers, donors.
Right. Our purpose is external.
So because of that, David Averitt argues, we must get back on track with how we receive input. We need to actively seek counsel, make space, value diverse perspectives.
And it's not just about efficiency or secular innovation for him.
No, he frames it as embodying biblical humility and wisdom. He brings back Proverbs 1.5 again.
Which one was that?
A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels.
Ah, right. Listening is the path to wisdom and learning, not a sign of weakness.
Exactly. It's the biblical path to getting smarter, essentially.
Okay, so let's keep following David Averitt's personal reflections here. What comes next?
He shares another powerful lesson under the heading, when God sends a helping hand, even through an idea.
Okay, helping hand sounds significant.
It is. This section has a strong personal feel. He shares a vital lesson he learned early on about leadership, growth.
And how God provides guidance.
Yes, how God often sends that critical helping hand in really unexpected, maybe even ordinary forms.
And he thinks that often comes as an idea from someone else.
Frequently, yes. That's his suggestion. That idea might be the helping hand you need.
And he learned early on about being too busy.
He says with real conviction, he was taught you are never too busy to truly listen. Unequivocally.
Never too busy.
Yeah.
Okay. But how does that work in practice?
He says it means consciously deciding to make the time, intentionally sitting down, giving full attention to read something, or having a real discussion.
Like over coffee or a meal, just focused on the idea.
Exactly. And here's the kicker. Doing this even when the idea challenges your current way of thinking.
Even if it questions decisions you've made or suggests you might be doing something wrong.
Precisely. David Averitt is very candid about that natural defensiveness we all feel sometimes when faced with critique.
Yeah, that initial resistance.
But he stresses that overcoming that instinctive reaction is absolutely crucial for personal growth as a leader and for the organization's progress.
So pushing past the ego, essentially.
You could say that. And this leads to his third key, saying connecting directly to God's unexpected helping hands.
Okay, what's the third one?
He says, the greatest leaders aren't just visionaries, they're diligent listeners, for God often speaks through unexpected voices.
Wow. God often speaks through unexpected voices. That's profound.
It really challenges our assumptions, doesn't it, about how we receive divine guidance.
We might expect it through prayer, scripture, our own inner voice.
And those are vital, of course. But David Averitt is saying, open your ears wider. God's wisdom, his opportunities, might come through that junior staff member's quiet suggestion.
Or an observation from someone in the congregation you barely know. Or a bold idea from a volunteer.
Exactly. So the question Mr. Averitt implicitly asks each of us is, in your busyness, are you actually listening for those unexpected voices God might be using?
That's a challenging question. Are we creating the space for that?
And David Averitt really drives home why this listening posture is so critical.
Why? What's the payoff or the risk?
He suggests that the very idea that makes you uncomfortable initially, the one that triggers defensiveness, the one you want to dismiss.
Yeah.
That idea might actually hold the key to your next major breakthrough.
Not just a better method, but a real breakthrough for the organization, the church.
And for your own personal growth, too, as a leader, as a person.
So how does God send these opportunities, according to David Averitt?
He believes God, in his wisdom and involvement, constantly sends opportunities, these helping hands, but they're often disguised.
Not obvious. No trumpets.
More like a thoughtful suggestion from a colleague, a compassionate observation about a need you missed, a bold vision from someone on the front lines.
And his point is that what you do with that offered helping hand determines your trajectory.
That's the crux of it. Whether you welcome it, consider it, or dismiss it, that choice has consequences for your work, your ministry, your journey.
And he brings back one of the Proverbs here.
Yes, Proverbs 11.14 again, to hammer the point home. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Safety and stability and listening to many voices, not isolation.
Right. David Averett warns that shutting ourselves off from ideas, from the counsel God might be sending through others, means we risk missing divine guidance.
We operate on limited understanding when broader wisdom might be available.
And he loops back to Proverbs 1.5 again, too. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. The link is clear. Hearing counsel is how we learn, become wise.
Got it. So, pulling this personal section together, what's the main call to action from David Averett?
It's compelling and clear. Let's actively strive to be wise leaders. Despite feeling busy, despite ideas being challenging,
we need to intentionally create the space-time environment posture for genuine engagement.
Exactly. Mr. Averett argues this isn't just good practice, it's a fundamental biblical principle.
And embracing this willingness to truly listen unlocks blessings. For us, our organizations, the people we serve.
That's his core message. Growth often starts simply, yet challengingly, with the willingness to just listen.
Okay, so moving from those personal reflections, David Averett also looks at specific reasons why ideas get lost, right? Some dynamics at play.
Yes, he delves into that. He talks first about what he labels the pass-along problem.
Ah, the dreaded pass-along. We've all been there, I think.
Probably. He describes it as often being the unintended final stop for good ideas, like a bureaucratic black hole.
Ideas go in, but they don't come out. Why does he think this happens?
He links it to leaders lacking the time, maybe the processes, or even just the inclination to really engage with the idea once it's shared.
Just easier to pass it off than deal with it.
Seems to be the implication. And he connects this failure to engage back to Proverbs 11.14 again.
Where no counsel is, the people fall. So failing to engage ideas risks the whole endeavor.
That's the connection he makes. It stifles potential, risks disappointment or failure. It's not trivial.
Makes sense. What other dynamics does he discuss?
He looks at the role of titles, how they carry weight in organizations.
Yeah, titles often dictate who gets heard, whose opinion matters most.
Right. But then he contrasts this with the church context.
How so?
Well, in a church, titles like pastor, elder, deacon are needed for order, for roles. But Mr. Averett notes they can sometimes overshadow deeper biblical principles.
Like humility. Shared wisdom.
Exactly. He brings in Matthew 23.11, where Jesus says, "But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant."
Servant leadership. Mm. So David Averett uses this to say, God's plan for church growth often involves empowering every voice, looking beyond hierarchy.
That's his argument. True biblical greatness is service, and service requires listening to those you serve, regardless of title.
Okay. What about the idea that church leaders get guidance from God directly, so maybe human ideas aren't needed? Does he address that?
He does. He calls it a paradox some leaders fall into. They rightly believe guidance comes from a higher power.
Through prayer, scripture.
Yes. But that belief can sometimes lead to discounting human ideas for practical ministry or problem solving as less spiritual or unnecessary.
As if God doesn't work through people's practical wisdom.
Precisely the point David Averett counters. He says the Bible is full of examples of God working through people and their ideas.
Like what example?
He points to Acts 6:1-7. The early church had a real human problem. Widows being missed in food distribution.
Okay, a practical issue.
And the apostles, who were definitely spirit-filled, didn't just pray and wait. They gathered the community.
And empowered them to choose wise, spirit-filled people from among themselves to handle it.
Exactly. David Averett uses this to show the Holy Spirit's guidance can come through the community's inspired, practical ideas. God works through people.
So thriving churches, he argues, are ones that solicit and value member ideas. Becoming solid churches.
Yes, demonstrating trust and shared ownership. And he says successful secular organizations grow the same way, cumulative contributions from many.
And he also mentions learning from failure, right? Even failed ideas teach you something.
Absolutely. He quotes the practical wisdom, you learn what not to do. But you only learn if you listen, evaluate, and try things.
Good point. The whole process needs listening.
And he loops back to that military principle again. Every soldier's voice matters because their perspective is crucial.
How does he connect that biblically?
With 1 Corinthians 12.1. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him.
Ah, the body of Christ analogy. Every member is placed by God, unique, valuable, necessary.
Exactly. Ignoring any part hurts the whole body.
Okay, so we understand the problem, the principles, the pitfalls. How do we actually do this? What's the how-to based on David Everett's synthesis?
Right, moving to the practical application. How do we get back on track? He stresses it requires intentionality. It won't just happen.
Makes sense. So what are the key steps he outlines?
He gives four clear, actionable steps for leaders. First, cultivate a culture of active listening.
Going beyond just hearing words.
Way beyond. Engaging, asking questions, showing genuine interest. He brings in James 1.19 here.
Swift to hear, slow to speak.
That's the one. Prioritize listening, slow down the response, control negative reactions. It's biblical practice.
Okay, cultivate active listening. What's second?
Create accessible channels for ideas. Make it easy for people to share.
Like suggestion boxes, brainstorming sessions, open doors, digital platforms.
Any of those. The key is clarity and ease of access. Don't make it hard for ideas to surface.
Got it. Accessible channels. Third.
Provide constructive feedback. This is crucial for morale.
Even if the idea isn't used.
Especially then. Acknowledge it, explain the rationale respectfully, show it was heard and considered, value the person.
Okay, constructive feedback. And fourth.
Empower and delegate. Trust your teams, your congregation, to own and implement ideas where it makes sense.
So it's not just about having ideas, but giving people the chance to run with them.
Exactly. Fosters purpose, builds capacity, reinforces shared responsibility, shows trust.
Those seem like solid practical steps. Does David Everett also talk about what the Bible says about not listening? The negative side.
He does. He points out scripture warns strongly against pride and a closed-minded, unteachable spirit. He quotes Proverbs 15.32. He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. Refusing ideas or counsel is seen as despising instruction, harming yourself.
Wow. And Proverbs 18.2.
A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Leaders who only want to hear themselves talk prioritize ego over wisdom.
Blocks understanding, isolates them.
Definitely. And Mr. Everett gives some biblical examples of these consequences, too.
Like who?
Rehoboam's folly in 1 Kings 12 is a big one. The new king rejected the wise elder's counsel.
Listen to his rash young friends instead.
And the kingdom immediately split in two. A direct result, David Everett notes, of not listening to experienced counsel representing the people's needs.
Powerful warning. What about a positive example?
Jesus and his disciples. Even being God, Jesus patiently listened, taught, corrected, empowered them.
Modeling servant leadership, which requires listening.
The ultimate example.
And David Everett comes back to the idea of titles in the church again here.
Yes, reinforcing that while roles like pastor or elder bring order, the Bible emphasizes the intrinsic value of every believer.
Back to 1 Corinthians 12, the body analogy. No part is insignificant.
Exactly. And leaders are servants, Matthew 20:26-28, not lords. Their role, like in Ephesians 4, is to nurture, guide, equip the saints.
And equipping requires listening to understand what's needed.
Absolutely. You can't equip effectively in a vacuum.
And he also reiterates a point about large organizations being built on shared ideas.
Yes, hammering home that success is cumulative. It's not just one brilliant mind, it's countless contributions building over time.
And the value of learning from failures is part of that cumulative process.
A crucial part. Trying ideas, learning, adapting, that requires listening and evaluation all along the way.
Okay, so pulling it all together, what's the final biblical blueprint for everyday leadership that David Everett offers? What are the key traits?
He boils it down to a few core characteristics. First, humility, knowing you don't have all the answers. Proverbs 22.4 links humility with riches, honor, life.
Foundational. Second.
Servant leadership. Emulating Christ. Putting others first, which naturally leads to listening.
Third.
Openness to counsel. Actively seeking and valuing others' wisdom. Proverbs 19.21. Hear counsel, that thou mayest be wise.
Makes sense. Fourth.
Empathy and compassion. Understanding the person behind the idea, responding with care, even if you can't use the idea.
Important for trust. And finally.
Stewardship of ideas. Seeing ideas as valuable gifts or resources entrusted to you, requiring respectful consideration.
Humility, servant leadership, openness, empathy, stewardship. That's a good summary.
And David Everett's overall message is that returning to these principles
fosters environments where ideas flourish, people feel valued, organizations thrive.
Exactly. It's about recognizing the God-given value and insight in every individual, and embracing that leads to growth and success.
A powerful conclusion, drawing it all together.
So let's wrap up this deep dive into David Everett's reflections. The absolute core insight, the main takeaway he wants us to get,
is the truly transformative power of intentionally listening. making space, building the culture, having the discipline.
Precisely, listening to every voice, valuing every idea. And it's not just a modern leadership trend.
It's deeply rooted in biblical wisdom, backed by practical examples from David Averitt's own varied experiences.
Yeah. And reiterating his challenge, overcoming that too busy feeling, pushing past defensiveness when ideas challenge us.
That's crucial, not just for the organization, but for our own personal and spiritual growth.
Vitally important, Mr. Everett argues, because God often speaks, sends his helping hands through those unexpected voices and ordinary ideas.
We need to be tuned in to potentially hear him.
Okay, building on that point about learning even from failures or seemingly bad ideas, here's a final provocative thought for you, our listener, to consider.
All right, let's hear it.
If creating a culture where people feel safe to contribute anything is so important, how might intentionally listening to and engaging even with ideas that seem, you know, unfeasible or outlandish?
How might that actually build a stronger foundation for real breakthroughs later on?
Exactly. Just by reinforcing that all contributions are valued, considered, safe to share, maybe it's less about finding the perfect idea right now and more about valuing the process of human creativity and the courage it takes to contribute at all. What do you think?
That's definitely something to chew on. Valuing the act of contribution itself.
Now, David Averitt mentioned this right at the end of his writing, and we really want to echo his call to action here.
Okay, the call to action.
If you are interested in learning more about David Averitt and the specific work his organization does, or maybe you'd like to get involved or support their mission.
He encourages people to visit their website.
Yes, he sincerely encourages you to visit. The website address is www.sayjailoutreach.org.
Let's spell that out. sayjailoutreach.org.
That's it. www.sayjailoutreach.org. Please do check it out if you'd like to learn more.
Good. Important to share that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us for this deep dive into David Averitt's really valuable insights on leadership and the profound power of listening.
We hope it's given you some food for thought, maybe challenged you a bit.
And encouraged you to prioritize listening and valuing every voice in your own life, your own leadership, whatever your context. Keep seeking knowledge. Keep digging deeper.
And keep valuing the wisdom that, as David Averitt suggests, is truly all around you, often in unexpected places.
Thanks for joining us on The Growth Journey. If you're ready to keep growing in faith, leadership, and life, be sure to follow the show and share it with someone on their own path. For more resources to connect with David Averitt, visit cajailoutreach.org. Until next time, keep pursuing real life, real growth, and divinely inspired results.